Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Sober Shaman Podcast. Today, I'm going to be reading my sobriety story, which I submitted to the Sober app on Substack. It's Sober app, Substack. And they are a publication in which my wife is the editor, Dr. Dana Lee Lyons, and it's separate than her Substack, Sober Soulful, if you want to check that out. This is more of a sober app, a resource app, and practitioners and people in recovery offer their stories, and it's wonderful resources. So if you'd like to check it out, you can go to the Sober app on Substack, or you can go to my Substack, The Sober Shaman, and I will be also printing it out there as it is written on the Sober app. So today I'm just going to pretty much read. I can't help but riff at certain points, I know I will, what I've written down for my sobriety story with Randall, from making music in LA to practicing holistic medicine. This is a series that showcases personal stories of addiction recovery and sobriety. Today's edition features Randall Lyons, a doctor of Chinese medicine and shamanic practitioner whose spiritual integrative program of addiction recovery has been implemented in holistic clinics, premier treatment centers, and his private practice. You can access the online version of the program through his newsletter, The Sober Shaman. That's me. You guys know that. And that's the intro that was put there. But it's a series of questions, and my answer is pretty simple, straight ahead post. And here's the first. When and how did you get sober? My answer is, the when is July 17th, 1994, and the how is simply that I had just had enough. After countless attempts to quit and many relapses, what changed this time was a clear and unwavering decision to quit. Boom. That's it. I wasn't going to try. I just did. And I knew if this was really going to work, I had to relinquish all the slippery people, places, and things, which made up about 90% of my life as a rock and roll guitar player trying to make it in LA. So the only other things I had going for me, which were keeping me alive during this insanity, were my study and practice of Chinese martial and medical arts, along with my spirituality. Neither of those, the Chinese medical martial arts, nor my spirituality, offered clear or well-defined pathways for getting or staying sober, but I knew they worked for me. So the passion I had previously poured into making music and the fire that fueled my cravings to use was now redirected into my curiosity about how this medicine could help me and later on others. Question: what was the turning point in your decision to get sober? I would call it the tipping point rather than a turning point. In the moment I made the decision, I felt the full weight of 17 years worth of using and its consequences tip over into conscious awareness. It wasn't any one thing or a lightning bolt moment of understanding. It was the felt accumulation of all the wasted time. For whatever reason, this was and remains my pain. Just that feeling of wasted time. There's something about that pain. It's an existential pain. It goes all the way to my core, and all of the pain of the consequences that happened to me during active addiction, for whatever reason, never really penetrated like this awareness that landed on me with its full weight at this time. Wasted time. And this pain still serves me to this day, because whenever I'm engaged in an activity that could be judged as wasting time, I'm brought into the present moment. And this is the practice. I breathe, relax, and observe from an objective view what the next right thing is. Usually, it involves stopping whatever activity I was doing because it indeed was enough of that. Question: what surprised you about getting sober? What surprised me the most was that I was able to give up playing music as easily as I did. I had such a deep connection between my addiction and my playing that I knew I couldn't stay in that field. That part was obvious. But the good that I received from music, which I would call soul nourishment, led me to be surprised by the possibility of finding new ways to get this same medicine. For example, when I wrote music, it was always a collaborative jam. There's nothing better than writing a groove, being carried by its current, and in all aspects of the phrase, playing together. Oh, there's a typo. Got to fix that one. In all aspects of the phrase, playing together. This was experimentation without judgment and always responding to each other's input with, yes, and then what if we... It was creative. It was collaborative. It was explosive. It carried enough juice for me. So later on, armed with a degree, a medical license, and a bunch of acupuncture needles, I could drop into a group at an addiction treatment center and do exactly the same thing. But instead of hitting a chord to elicit a band member's response, I could throw out a question like, hey, what's stronger, belief or reality? Just let that one sit. That's one of my faves. What's stronger, belief or reality? And the room would quickly divide into sides. The discussion got rolling, and the current of exploration, learning, and insight was put into motion. And now I can add healing to this list. And yes, this was and continues to this day to be surprising, as well as exciting and inspiring, that I do indeed get the same soul nourishment. I get the same buzz. This, and it isn't even that it's the same, it's that it isn't even the same, it's that it's the same in that I'm replacing this idea of doing a group and jamming with other people on this question or any question of a discussion of, hey, what's stronger, belief or reality? It is the same thing, because in the jamming, what was really the best part of it for me was the collaborative effort of exploration and each person putting in their own discovery. What if? And it's the same thing in discussions nowadays. And that's what floats my boat, sparks my heart, does all those things. And that surprised me, because at the time I didn't think anything was going to be able to replace music. Question: what's the biggest challenge you've encountered on your recovery journey? I'd say that there have been two challenges. First, because I was a man of more and addicted to faster, louder, sharper, let's keep this train a rolling ridiculousness, there's still a part of me that holds these beliefs and suggests that sticking my finger in the nearest light socket is a good idea. You know, just for the feeling of it, just for old time's sake. Quite simply, this is when I allow feelings to completely override all sense of logic and reason. I can do that. A freight train of feeling has always provided enough of a jolt to ignore whatever reality I'm avoiding. So the big challenge is recognizing when that belief is offering its opinion. And this often comes disguised as my passion or excitement or something I totally deserve. So I have to see that disguise and see it for what it is. So most often when I catch this, I recognize it, I say, thanks, great idea. But instead, you know what? I'm going to just do this boring next right thing over here. The other big challenge has been with my spirituality. It's hard walking a path of practicing core shamanism. I know I talk about this every week, and I probably make it sound like, jump on board, make the spiritual practical. It's, you know, it's as easy as this that I'm talking about today. Yeah, this is a challenge for me in that, in this kind of spirituality, and not just the brand of core shamanism that I practice for myself, but in the wider general idea that I propose, that we all have an inherent birthright to communicate directly to spirit and to receive direct revelation. In this scenario, the teachers lie on the other side of the veil in non-ordinary reality. So while it's great to develop that ability for communication, for receiving direct revelation, and then applying those messages into our daily lives, you know, finding other people who know this language, know this medicine, and know the ins and outs of this work is not so easy. After all, it's not like being able to look up the nearest Roman Catholic Church and just drop in on a service. Question. What are the biggest benefits or gifts of your sobriety? While there are so many obvious and powerful benefits of sobriety, yeah, obviously I wouldn't be helping other people in sobriety if I wasn't sober. So I'd probably have to have a different career. Number one. But while there are so many obvious ones, I'm laughing because that's probably the biggest obvious one that I didn't even think of, right? And how it affects health, wealth, and happiness. Of course, the biggest gift is my relationship with the love of my lifetimes and simultaneously the ex and current wife, Dr. Dana Lee Lyons, which in no way could have happened or been maintained if I were anywhere near active addiction. And while a close and meaningful relationship is easy to identify as the biggest gift, it also serves as a reminder of the big gift of appreciation and gratitude for exactly what I've got right here, right now, in this exact perfect form, showing up exactly as the way things are. So thank you guys for listening, because it's perfect exactly the way it is. Question: what words of advice would you give someone who's considering sobriety or newly sober? Stop searching. Start trusting. Trust what you already know to be true would be my advice. Stop searching. Start trusting. Trust what you already know to be true. Answers are not found out there somewhere. Rather, they are listened to as what I like to call the truth that resides in your bones. This truth speaks of the next right thing to do and reminds you that you are completely deserving of all the best this world has to offer. Yeah. That would be my advice. Especially in early recovery, there was, I'll riff on this idea. When I'm in denial, stubbornness, that's the relationship. My will is called stubbornness, and I am in a state of denial. Yet that same muscle of stick-to-itiveness, when aimed in recovery, can now be called perseverance or determination, right? Or knowing what the next right thing to do is. And what's stronger, belief or reality, right? So this belief that I've got the answer. When I was being told in early recovery, this is what you should do, this is the other thing you should do, and then you should do this and you should do that. And I did a lot of those shoulds, and it did provide a lot of the answers that they should. And yet something was still missing. And yet that missing could only be satisfied by this inner knowing that I'm talking about, this truth that I say is in the bones. It resides there. It is bubbling up. It's trying to get my attention. Maybe yours is trying to get your attention. It's a knowing that it's truth. And it's a truth that knows the next right thing to do. It just does. What was that book called? Everything We Needed to Learn, We Learned by Kindergarten. There's a lot of truth to that, ain't it? We learn right from wrong is basically the biggest message in that statement that I get. We learn right from wrong. We know what right is. We know what wrong is. And following that is the messages that reside in the bones, that come from the bones, and they can be steered in your individual particular direction and at the same time show you what the next right thing to do is, which may be the exact right thing to do that everybody needs to do. Addiction is predictable. You are unique, as I like to say. So the predictability, thank goodness, provides that map. It is the way it is. There is absolutely nothing unique about you or me when we are in active addiction. We are carbon copy cutouts of our previous selves. When we step out of active addiction, then we are and can continue to be, maybe become, the authentic, original, expressive self that only you can do. Only you can deliver the gifts from your hero's journey coming out of active addiction here into sobriety that we all are waiting for and need back here in the village. I riffed on my words of advice. Stop searching. Start trusting. Trust what you already know to be true. All right, I'll stop there. That was a good, quick episode. As always, if you have any questions, comments, send them my way. Please hit a little like or thumbs up, whatever format you are listening or reading this episode on. And if you need help, by all means, reach out. If I don't have the answers, I'm more than happy to point you in the direction of somebody who does. So until next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.